This podcast exists and has no real actual ads on it because of our Patreon. You can support us over at patreon.com/nullplusvoid. I don't know when my sleeping problems started. I know it was when I was working at Machinima, and all of a sudden it was there's like mandate of like, hey, you got to be in the office like before 9. It was before I just kind of strolling around 10:30, and I was just like staying up till 4 playing video games or whatever. And then like, I don't know, like this morning we had the daylight savings thing. I was just up at 6.
That's, ugh.
I don't get it. I'm just like, I can't sleep in. I don't know. I'm like incapable of it.
That's what happens when you get old.
Is that it? Like, I just can't enjoy sleep anymore.
It's not that you can't enjoy it. It's just you don't need as much of it. Like, my grandparents are, you know, like go to bed at 10 and then they're like up by 4, you know, and they're like, we're having dinner. If you want to come over, I'm like, oh, when? And they're like 2. I'm like, okay. It's like, I'm not even eating lunch by that point.
Well, my problem too is I'll sit here and preach all these things about, oh, these are healthy ways to live and yada, yada, yada. Meanwhile, I'm on my third cup of coffee at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I take about this much Z-Quil, and I pop like 10 to 15 milligrams of melatonin every night.
Is that a lot? I don't know. I only know five, hard, real drugs.
Five is low, and like I've just been upping it by 5 milligrams little by little, and I was talking to the doctor. I was like, oh, you should do more. Like, go. This is an HMO, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Which also dentists.
They're like, Eric, I think you should do as much melatonin as you want.
Close enough. She looked like a duck. She had the big mask. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, the doctors get the good ones. Mm-hmm. That's how they live forever.
They're like real N95.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not the fake bullshit that we wear.
Mm-hmm.
People like us get sick. I haven't gotten sick yet, but yeah.
The doctor that I'm dating, when she thought she may have been exposed to COVID or whatever.
Through you?
Through a patient. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When we were fooling around, like, she kept a mask on. And so I've had, you know, I've had relations with the masks where I was wearing a mask too, I think. But I strangely liked it. And I was like, this is new world.
You can find new kinks at all sorts of ages. Yeah.
And it's just like, this is so fucking hard. It's like, I don't know.
Glasses are fogging up.
I'm coming. Like, what do you say? It's like, works for me.
Yeah. Doctors should know better.
And then I've had COVID twice in the last
about 3 times. 6 months.
Well, I had it.
You're always trying out new variants.
I had it before.
You had it before the vaccine.
Before the vaccine.
Yeah.
And then after the vaccines, I had it. And then I had it again this year, at the beginning of this year.
You were out for a while because of like how hard it hit you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was the fatigue thing that sucks. Like, and the second time that it happened recently, you know, because was it beginning of February? Or anyway, the second time it happened, like the fatigue thing took me until, I don't know, a week ago to get over, because it's just like, I can't do it. And I was like forcing myself to work out and do all this stuff. And
it's probably not good.
And I was told it was fine. I mean,
by your doctor friend?
Yeah, by my in-network doctor. she's like, oh, you totally do it. Okay, cool. And I had to anyway. Otherwise, like, the change on my mood, not working out and how I feel and all this stuff is not worth, you know, I mean, it's worth, you know, going through it and all that stuff.
I always think about that in Fight Club when the doctor tells him, like, just choose some valerian root and work out, you know, which is essentially what he ends up doing, is just he's fighting other people. It's like, oh, it's just exercise. That's all he needed to sleep, is like just stop staying up all night watching television. But yeah, no, I'm still dealing with the sleep problems. It's all mental for me. It's the thing of like, I can't empty the brain. It's constant.
I think a lot of people deal with that though, right?
Like, yeah. And it's only getting worse. Like, depression is the highest it's ever been. And everyone's having dreams of the world ending and just stuff like that. Like, we were talking about this, like we were both having dreams of, like, natural disasters, like just destroying the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I was like,
giant waves. And yeah, I mean, it doesn't help when like something's happening and there's like this nuclear you know, element that's injected into it. And you're like, oh, okay, new Cold War.
Right. Oh, yeah, you wake up and you're like, oh, by the way, this country is shelling a nuclear facility. Mm-hmm. It's not like a bomb, so it's okay. And they're like, well, they have to shut off Chernobyl again today. You're like, what's happening?
Still talking about Chernobyl. Yeah.
That show was good. Yeah. When are they going to make a sequel?
Yeah. Soon. So they shut down production of Chernobyl. Okay. But we're still going to get the new series, right?
Chernobyl's.
Yeah.
3 Mile Island. So that was interesting. Actually, I don't even know what happened at 3 Mile Island. It was just like a mini little, right?
I guess. I mean, I think it was a meltdown.
It was a meltdown. It was the smaller of the meltdowns.
Yeah.
So I should do research on things I talk about. I just know.
Hey, if you don't do research on things you talk about, chances are we'll get a $200 million deal with Spotify. So say whatever the fuck you want, man.
That's a good reference.
Yeah.
As long as I just say, like, not a journalist, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not an expert on it, but that does seem like the truth. You're like, all right.
You said it with conviction.
So the conviction.
And then I just go, what is truth? Anyway, do these drugs and eat this meat and everything will be okay.
Make yourself look like a giant penis and you'll be fine.
That's HGH, right? Is that what that does? Or is that just a person working out a lot?
Well, both, I think. And, you know, supplements and...
Because I'm dabbling with, you know, HGH. And I just don't know yet.
Are you?
No. Oh.
I was like, I mean, you could.
No, I mean, there's always the part of me that goes like, God, I don't have time to work out, which is like... I think I'm up to like once a week now, like consecutively. I'm trying to do 2 to 3 times a week where I'm just like, I drive home or if I, you know, I have a membership, I should use it, you know, that sort of thing. And now they're all opening back up and, you know, it's like, there's no real excuse other than the time commitment, but there's that other part of me that's like, steroids.
Well, it's the thing, like you can't,
all easier.
It's, if you don't have any workout habits, steroids are just going to make you just feel like shit anyway, and then you're also gonna have acne. And
from what I understand, if I just pick up a grocery bag, I get really strong. Right,
there's this guy when I was growing up in high school named Billy, who's this scrawny kid, like his junior year. He was a year ahead of me, and over the summer of his junior year he did a bunch of steroids and worked out, and he came back like, not only was he jacked, but his facial structure had changed, where his like forehead had come out a little bit, and like his just face looked like his skull was trying to escape from his face.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, Billy, what did you do? And he's like, I was just working out this summer, man. And like,
dieting.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, you were 130 pounds in May, and now it's August and you're 210, you know, like, and so he's like, yeah, I was just working out, and like, you know, he's getting acne and you know, all that kind of stuff. Everyone knew. And also we'd be in computer science class and he'd be like looking at like Spanish sites for, you know, like bottles of pills. And then one time we're in computer science again and people were like, Billy, like, lift up Aaron, you know, to the ceiling. He's like, okay. And he just like went like this to, and just like lifted me to the ceiling. And he was like an inch shorter than me, you know? And what I'm getting at is it worked for him. So I think it could work for you.
As a 37-year-old man, this is the time to start.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to. That's not something I'm into because it's a shortcut, which I should be a fan of, but I think also I'm just looking for longevity of like, I don't want to hurt, you know, I want to be healthy-ish. I want to take my vitamins and just like, I've given up on the dream of, you know, having washboard abs or any of that. It's just more of like, does the shirt fit?
Yeah.
You know, do my jeans go on okay? Are they not, you know, I don't want to be like sitting on, you know, you after 3 pizzas when you're, I walk in and your pants are half buckled around. You're like, too much pizza.
But I'm in shape.
You've got a strong man body.
Yeah.
Someone said a long time ago, it's like, yeah, just as long as you look healthy with a t-shirt on, it's all that matters. I mean, that's a good point. Yeah.
But I did unbutton my pants.
You did unbutton. Yeah. I do that. It's fine. Sometimes you got to.
I think it was the pants that shrunk.
It's the steroid gut.
Yeah.
That's doing it. It's
AIDS too, belly.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just found out. Someone I knew from a long time ago has AIDS.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had it. Just like found out. He's like, he's had it for a long time. I was like, oh, I have no freaking idea. His name's Magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's doing good.
Tall.
Rich. I wanted to bring up unhealthy coping mechanisms. I feel like we've talked about it, where I've masked trauma and like anything with like video games, or these days it seems more like I eat my feelings.
Do you really?
Yeah. I've been having a lot of unhealthy eating problems. It kind of happened around the holidays, just like super stressful time. And then just not going to the gym, not eating right. And then just getting into that cycle of, I'm really depressed. I'm going to eat, and it doesn't make me feel any better, but I can't, but I won't, like, I'll just OD on sugar, you know?
But you always eat less than I eat.
Is that true? No, I think I eat more than you.
I don't think so.
I just do it when you're not looking.
Oh, okay.
That's how you know it's unhealthy.
Yeah, I'm you're trying to secret, hide it from yeah. people. Secret eating.
Yeah, I put my doggy back. No. Well, the other thing too, so my stomach stuff's been coming back. Mm. But it's weird. Not like every 5 years, it seems to be like I have this, it's like a bacterial infection. Don't know what it is. I just have these like, either I'm just a big wuss, or I'm actually hurting, but like my stomach will just expand, and then I have to like take some like powdered laxatives or something, and then like you can physically see my stomach like shrink down. It's not cool.
So
like,
you're I balloon. You're coping with this food, and then you have to take this laxative.
That's another cycle I'm in.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and then it's like, well, okay, we'll try eating less, and like you try eating less. Yeah, it's hard.
I don't want. Maybe I'm just not diving deep enough into myself. I'm trying to think what my coping mechanisms are necessarily.
You seem to like tune out with a car or two.
There is that aspect of it.
I would call that healthy outer circle behavior.
Maybe there is an Asperger-ish kind of obsession that I have with like finishing this thing, and then I'll like tune everyone else out because it's like an escape. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's. I think it's okay, but the unhealthy part is like the how much money I spend on it and all that stuff. But
is it affecting other parts of your life though? That's when it gets into like addiction territory. I mean, we'll talk more about that later. I think we're talking about having some guests on who can speak more to that, who have more of life experience. But
well, I don't know. I mean, it would be an issue. It can be an issue like with the car, right? We're in the car, like, you know, if. Person I'm seeing, you know, she wants to go out or do something. I'm like, I have to get this fender on, you know, or whatever.
Right. But you're not, are you like putting her off and like hiding or ignoring, or are you being upfront saying, hey, I'm working on this car today?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm pretty upfront.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, like, you're not saying stuff like, I have to go to a funeral.
Oh, no.
My grandma died again. Like,
no. I mean, no, I don't think so.
Okay. So the way it's, you can list it out, at least what you do in like a recovery group, they have the circles. So you break your life up into three circles, inner, middle, outer. So your outer circle is all good stuff. It's like working on a car, working out, learning writing, a new language, whatever. Writing. Yeah. Cooking stuff where like. Going on a hike, having a conversation, talking to someone, like you can be pretty open with it, but it's like stuff that makes you feel good and you're not going to really feel any shame or guilt from doing. Inner circle is all your bad behavior, over drinking, pornography use, you know, going, you know, outside your morals and your values, that sort of stuff.
So that's not outer circle stuff?
That's inner circle is bad. Outer circle is good.
Okay. Maybe if I flip the circles.
Well, well, the middle circle is. It's that line. So like, okay, you have, you know, you're working on a car or whatever, or like say if you have a gambling problem, right. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well going to Las Vegas could be middle circle because you're going there for vacation. There's other stuff you can do there. It becomes inner circle when you start gambling. And then everyone's, you know, you do it differently. Like, do you have a gambling problem? Vegas might be inner circle, you know, but it's however you want to define it.
Okay.
So like, are you capable of going somewhere and not engaging in behavior that causes your life stress? or
so causes... middle circle's like gateway things or what?
It's not exactly gateway. It's usually like unavoidable stuff. So it's like, you know, I spent some time on the computer. It wasn't good for me. It wasn't bad for me. I was just kind of doing some online shopping, but that could lead to bad choices. Kind of because the computer's a gateway. Computer's a gateway to anything. So you just kind of call that middle circle, where it's like, yeah, that's just kind of my day. That's middle circle is usually where you sit most of your day.
So when you get in the middle circle, you should be on like a DEFCON 3 or something. Be aware of you're in the middle circle.
Yep. Yeah.
And it could go to the inner circle.
Yeah. It could basically go either way. So you're just like, okay, I'm on a computer. I could start bidding on things because that's a problem I have. Or I can start drafting an email to a loved one and just saying, how are you? That sort of stuff. So it's like that's that line you're on, which, you know, being on a computer for most of us is unavoidable. You have to use, you know, either for a job or whatever. But, that's a tool I've worked with that's helped me define like where my boundaries are, where I can stay healthy, where I'm like, today is going to be an outer circle day. So what does that mean? I'm going to go on a hike and I'm going to turn my phone off because wasting my day on my phone is probably not good for me. So, yeah.
Well, I wonder, like, sometimes I buy things as a coping mechanism, but there'll be things for my hobby. Like, you know, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to get all this, you know, I'm going to get these silver petals and this, you know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should be, and maybe it is an issue, you know, because...
Well, I'll be your therapist. I'll just ask you these questions. Is it hurting you? Are you going into debt? Are you hurting anybody? And is your hobby affecting your life in a negative way?
I don't think so. I mean, you could say, I'm not going into debt from it, but like there are probably smarter ways to put my money, you know, smarter places to put my money. Like it could be like, I don't put anything in an IRA. Like I don't do that.
Can
like,
you buy these petals and invest in an IRA?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But I don't.
You don't have to brag how much money you make.
No, Jesus. God. But it's like, I don't know. I could see, because I've seen it in my life growing up, like I could see it being an issue later.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I save money and stuff like that, but I'm not like, I'm going to match, you know, 5% with my employer or whatever. Like, I don't do any of that shit.
I guess here is the other question. Does thinking about investing cause you stress?
Now you're my financial advisor. You're
like, well, no, I'm just like a very basic question. Like, does the thought of investing or putting your money away cause you anxiety or stress? And then do you then take that? Or sorry, answer that question first. Sorry, I'm getting ahead. It's a leading question. Does the thought of investing cause you anxiety or stress?
Yeah, well, only in the sense of like, you know, because I've lost money in Bitcoin or, you know, lost money doing stocks, like putting my money into other things, you know, can feel stressful.
Right.
But I also have equity in places and stuff. So that's not stressful.
Well, you were just talking about doing an IRA, which, you know, a long-term investment strategy, but you haven't set anything up.
No. I have IRAs set up, but I don't contribute.
Under different names.
Yeah, under different names. But I have, you know, I'm set up, but I don't contribute to them actively anymore.
Gotcha.
And part of it's this fatalistic thing where I'm like, 60 years old, I won't live to then. Why would I squirrel away, you know, whatever this money is?
But in case you do.
Right.
Yeah.
It's me knowing that, like, I also said the same thing about turning 30, you know, when I was 18 or 20 or something. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to be 30 or whatever. Cut to me celebrating 35th birthday. Yeah. You know?
You're now on borrowed time.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like,
I'm just the question what it's leading to is
Your Honor.
Are you if this thing is causing you stress, are you then going to a different tab and buying car parts to not invest? That's when it's a problem. So yeah,
I don't think so. I mean
it's the thing of like if you're doing homework and then you're binging on YouTube instead and you're like wasting time, that's some coping problems right there.
I would go back and forth between like, you know, not really anymore, but like because I actively, you know, stop it. Like, you know, you're not in a relationship. You start, or this is me speaking. I'm not going to turn it into a universal you. Okay, me. When I wasn't in a relationship, you know, I started looking at porn again and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a similar thing, pulling up 4chan or something, or any of those kind of things. That's what I lump it into.
Yeah, you know? I mean, like Reddit for me was like an addiction.
Well, it's Reddit too. It's, yeah, I guess I kind of lump all those into one thing. It's not like I was like, I'm gonna look at the porn all day. It was more like those distractions that are those time sucks that are like they're almost, how do you describe them? They're like
bite size,
but they're like naughty treats, you know, or whatever, that you're like, oh, you know, you get on 4chan and you see like,
well, it's just rabbit holes that you constantly fall into. It's like, you know, going down into a comment thread and going into this and that and following this, and just, it's like constantly checking out, and then you realize you've wasted 4 hours on this thing.
But is that a coping thing, or is that just distraction?
I don't think that it comes down to
what circle is that.
It's up to you. That's the thing. It's all personal. I am not an authority on this. It's your own personal authority. No one's going to tell you you're good or bad. It's how do you want to, you know, frame your life of like,
well,
do you feel like spending hours on 4chan or Reddit or whatever is a waste of your time? You could be doing something better with it. That'll help you grow as a person.
So like if I'm on 4chan watching Chinese people run over people in crosswalks, you know, or whatever, that's popping up and it's blocking me from writing or like getting, you know, a commercial done or something like that, then I guess that would be inner circle. And it's like, you know, no more looking at the Chinese wrecked threads, you know, or whatever that come up. You know, people in China, they do not stop for people who get run over in intersections, I found.
Typically, no.
I think there's just too much going on. Mm-hmm. And if they feel a bump, they probably know it's someone's head, but they'll just keep driving.
This is totally unrelated. I had so my coping mechanism for years was, you know, video games. And a lot of it was an excuse, was like, oh, it's for work, but I would just binge and sit there. It's not healthy for me. I'm not going to say for anyone else, but for me, it was not healthy to sit to play something for 4 to 5 hours and be like, well, it's for my job. I need to be an expert. Also, I was like, no one needs to be an expert in that sort of stuff. It's like, I had a very unhealthy relationship in that regard. And I was like, I was using that to just put off feelings and anything else. But like, I just, these days I don't have time really to like sit there like maybe an hour a week, maybe something like that, because I refuse to be a streamer.
Yeah.
And I won't lock myself to a chair that way. Like that's, you know, you get to sit and eat all the pizza in the world. Uh-huh. It's like, nope, not going to do it. But I've seen, you know, a lot of people are playing Elden Ring. That's like the thing that came out, the new Dark Souls or whatever. And I was like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, I want to play that. And like, you know, but I just don't have the time. And so then I was trying to think of a healthy way that I could, I don't know if you're not familiar with these games, but like they've been around for years and it's always, they're very like lore heavy and people are like, oh, the story's so good. And I've played it. And it's like, you're a husk, you're a nothing. So you're just this character creator with a giant nose and a huge chin and giant breast. And you're just like hitting things with your club. But then it's like, you know, if you sit and talk to this character, he'll tell you this whole thing. And so this new one, they got George R. R. Martin to like write it.
Oh, really?
And so like, there's a part of me that's like, what if he wrote it as a book where it's this hollow character where it's like, I move forward, I go right, I kill thing. And then he goes to someone by a tree and it becomes this beautifully written, like this beautiful prose, this like well-written story, and goes, okay, and just leaves. This character, this husk as a vehicle, I was like, he should write that book. Uh-huh. That would be a beautiful book. It's like Elden Ring, the novel. And it's just this empty thing.
And you want to play this game?
I've just been watching people play it. Like
So you've been watching them from it and not participating?
I just don't have time, really. You know,
but what about the time you spent watching them?
I was making your coffee.
Oh.
That was
a good use of your time.
Yeah, I was watching like a speed run on my phone.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's why it took so long to get my coffee. You were watching. See, that's inner circle.
Yeah.
No, it's inner circle.
Because this is getting in the way of giving you coffee.
Now you know.
Or, no, wait. I was watching, I was making myself coffee. I texted you and said, hey, biscuits will be ready in 15 minutes. And you're like, be there in five.
I woke up.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess that's one of my outer circle things now. It's like, I enjoy cooking.
I noticed that. That seems like a nice thing.
Yeah. And you're like, I keep waiting for you to be like, oh, this is really good. Are you writing anything? Are you doing anything? And like, because there is that part of me. It's like, I keep putting stuff off of like, we should probably do a follow. You're writing your book. And I'm like, I need to, Jess and I keep talking about doing the, you know, our cat children's book. And we keep talking about it, but I'm not doing anything.
I get that. I don't want to be back to you, like Aaron asking me if I'm writing, like a part of me understands, like maybe not so much with this cooking, but like you're making a brisket or you're doing that kind of stuff. I understand that that's me in the car, you know, like,
yeah,
part of it is like when we're compressing so hard for 2 years on something during a hard time. And yeah. I understand releasing that fault line a little bit, you know, so there's not an earthquake, but that's me with the car being obsessive and like going out there for hours and welding and just doing and tuning the world out and all this stuff. Because, but also there's a part of it is like, am I running away from, cause I know how hard the work is to make something, like,
yeah.
And there's a crippling fear of, you know, always with anything you're doing is like actually having to show up and make it. And that's with anything you do in life. But like in this instance, it's like, it's this book or it's, you know, whatever the case is. So it's like, there's a running aspect. So yeah, I will yell at you next time I see that perfect brisket.
Well, the brisket's a sit and forget, but it's like, what am I doing? What I'm trying to do is fill every part of my day with positive things to do. And it's just right now, my life feels like a lot more, it's in flux, but we have Nolan Void. I have a day job. I have like responsibilities and it is kind of scary to look back at my life before and be like, oh my God, I was wasting so much time. I had a lot of free time and I was wasting it. I wasn't like, I'm sort of sad now that it's like, oh my, I could have been using that free time on really positive things, but I just felt so unmotivated and so just like lethargic and just drained. And now I'm like, now I'm kind of like pumped and ready to go, but there's just not enough hours in the day and I'm trying to go to bed before midnight, which is hard. Yeah. And it's just like, I'd rather just be sleepless sometimes, but yeah. And then I'm staying up, losing sleep, thinking about things I want to do. And
one of these, maybe not this one, but in this, next episode, I'm going to talk about quarter life crises.
What's a quarter life crisis?
Quarter life crisis is
like doing your taxes.
No, it's what people face. Say if you want to say 25, but people face it at different times, but like the quarter life crisis of, what am I doing with my life? Like, am I wasting time? Like, is this all that there is? What is my calling? Like, basically that flip out moment where you're like, do I have to work in this office for the rest of my life? Is that what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, that kind of stuff.
I get that a lot.
And it's not just regulated to people in their 20s.
Like, yeah. I mean, the really dark part is it's like the checkout thoughts where it's like, well, yeah, you're in this rat race. You're on this loop. You're going to do it forever. So what's the point? And I'm like, shut up. Like that's the dark. Those are the dark thoughts. That's the dark voice where I'm just like, it is the sick part of my brain. That's like, I know where it comes from. It was raised to just, if things are too hard, give up. And if it gets way too hard, then you should do the ultimate give up. I'm just like, I understand now that is a part of my brain trying to protect me. It's ill-guided. It's not helping. It is like a confused child. That's like hugging a rabbit too hard. You know, it's like, I'm going to save you with love.
There's some Lenny business in there for sure.
Definitely. And like the more I'm able to understand that and like tell that voice, thanks, but no thanks, it's okay. Then it's like, I realize it's like, this isn't me dealing with like a mental illness or anything like that. It's like, this is my, I mean, maybe it is a mental illness, but it's like,
your programming more than anything is what you're dealing with.
It's a lot. It's a big mix of everything. Everyone's raised different. And, it's my conditioning. It's my programming. It's There's just, it all got mixed up where it says like, hey, if things are too hard, you should quit. And whether that's, you know, a project or life. And, I know that it's, this isn't something that I'm going to give up on, and no matter what. And like,
as much as I want you to,
no, I think one, life's too precious. And I think there's too much interesting stuff going on that like, it is easy to focus on all the negative, 'cause that's what happens. But, I think the important thing is to shine a light on the good and stay in that light and not give it. And like the more I stay away from that negativity, it's not so much that like shut out the haters or anything like that. It's just more
which
like
we've talked about that before.
Yeah. I mean, like, criticism always exists, and I'll be the most critical person of my own stuff over and over. But at the same time, I don't think anything I'm doing is so precious that it's like, well, I'm just trying. I'm not here to like change the world. I'm just not going to live in that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then it ends up, you know, when I see some of that stuff, if I see someone being like overtly negative, it's more of like, well, what's going on with that person? Like, maybe that person needs a hug or something, and they're going to be like, fuck you, I'm smarter than you. Like, yeah, that's fine. Like, right, I mean, dude, I'm just going to live my life and just do your thing. But yeah, it's this whole thing has just been a big long journey, and just like, just being okay. So that was a long rant.
No, I didn't know about the circles. Now I have to analyze my life via the circles. I'm getting the impression that I have a lot of inner circle things that I have to figure out. I thought were outer.
You can do a little chart and just draw it out, and they change too over time.
Well, that's the thing. And also, yeah. I'm still confused exactly about what it all means. So, you know, like, I wouldn't know what to put in various circles.
Just go to a few meetings, get a sponsor, and they'll tell you.
No.
Oh.
No. Because, and here's the reason why. I'm sure drinking goes into one of these circles for me.
It depends on the person.
But I would probably rate the drinking, like, so that Japanese drink you made for me.
Yeah.
That was definitely outer circle, because it was so delicious. But well, inner circle would be like a MD 4040 or something being really sad. And then middle circle would be me drinking by myself at home.
Maybe.
Which is which? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it all comes down to like, everyone's different. Some people have problems with drugs, alcohol, you know, visual stimuli, whatever, physical stimuli, other sorts of things. And it ultimately comes into how you describe it. Is it a problem? Is it affecting you? Is it affecting your family? Is it hurting you in a negative way? If you're sitting at home and you're drinking and you're fine, that also becomes a slippery slope.
Because, well, I think it has a few times.
Yeah. Where, you know, I had a teacher describe, you know, alcoholism to me at a young age, where it was sort of like, it's like, look, I just drink on the weekends, sometimes at the kids' game, when I get home after work, once in the morning, just to get things going. It's like, okay, now it's, you know, typically when someone says like, I can handle it, you know, there's like a problem there. But it all, like, I'm not going to judge anyone or tell them. It comes down to you. So like, for me personally, I just don't drink until weekends. That's a personal thing. And I've just been like, yeah, you know what? There's parts of me during the week where I'm like, after the end of the day, I'm just like, I just really want a beer. The control, or the, I don't know, the feel good aspect is when I can go, no, I'm good. I can say no. You know, I can have a freezer full of booze and like, it's not calling to me. In fact, that's where the vodka sits. And I'm like, ugh.
That's a good place to put vodka.
Yeah,
for that exact reason.
It should stay there. We've been having martinis while we watch MASH. But
that's just for the,
that's just on weekends,
the experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same way I would eat. Another unhealthy thing was we'd watch Pushing Daisies and eat pie, because they always had pie in the show, and it was nice.
I was definitely drinking to cope with that last company I was with, where I was creative directing there.
Yeah. But you'd be drinking in meetings.
Well, there was that. And, but also, like, you know, I would drink after the day was done, because I'd just be kind of bummed out, and then I'd wake up kind of hungover and pissed off, and in these, these meetings we would have, you know, or like creative meetings, I'd just be like in such a foul mood that it prevented me from doing like good work. You could say, oh, there's other factors that were preventing me too, but sticking with me, taking the ownership of things, like, mm-hmm. you know, drinking at night was putting me in a bad mood the next day and affecting my ability to like execute properly. And that kept going for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, you know, I would feel a lot better maybe if I didn't drink starting, you know, at the end of the day, the previous day, and then, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they're definitely, I've had those phases. And then also, yeah, drinking when I was interviewing that person, but not, in my defense, I was high. And I didn't realize I was drinking.
Not guilty.
Well, the thing, the VP comes, visits in town. This is still during pandemic stuff.
Yeah.
He is like, let's get coffee. It's 9 a.m. on a Thursday and we get coffee. We're hanging out for, you know, an hour or two. And as we're parting ways, he pulls out this bag full, he's from California. He pulls out this bag of gummies or whatever. Mm. And he's like, you know, just to, for the creative juices to flow or whatever. And I was like, okay. So I take
it. It's kind of like a pusher.
Yeah, exactly. And man, that's what I would say in court. And no, but I take this bag home, or I'm about to walk out with this bag. He's like, you know, it's Thursday. You don't, what do you have on the dock? You have any meetings or anything today? I'm like, no, we already pushed out some stuff, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, why don't you just go home and take one of those? I was like, yeah, all right. So I go home, walk home the block, take one of those gummies. Maybe 30 seconds after I eat the gummy, the head of brand calls me and is like, you ready to interview that writer? I was like, when? About an hour. So I was like, I didn't know that. She's like, it's on your calendar. I was like, I don't look at the calendar. So she's like, okay, well, you know, tell me what you think of her when you're done. I was like, okay. An hour, well, 59 minutes goes by and I'm like, and just everything is just out, just gone. It's a gummy, like serious shit. And so I press the when the Zoom goes off and it's like, you know, to answer the button, I was like, and I press the thing and the brightest, happiest face shows up, smart, worked with big publications, you know, to talk to me. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? And she's like, oh, so great. And God, I've been going through so many interviews. I'm like, oh, no, yeah. And she's like, oh, so I thought maybe I could just ask you some stuff. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, you know, what are some of the, you know, what do you see the direction of this department going? And like my role and there's all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's a lot of good stuff. I want to get into that, but tell me a little bit about, like, I absolutely redirect. And it's like, just, I wanted to learn a little bit more about your background at this. I knew this one publication she was at. That's the word I knew. Mm. So I said, at XYZ. And she goes, oh, okay. And she starts talking. And as she's talking, I start disassociating. Right. And I start.
That's the glass.
Yeah. It just starts coming over. You know, the cloud goes over me. So where as she's talking, I minimize the window and I just start looking at just anything, like Reddit, 4chan, all this stuff. And as I'm listening to her, my mind goes into this world of like, cause I listen to NPR in the morning, I listen to all sorts of radio shows. And she's just kind of like part of that background. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I'm like, I get up and I go and get a beer from the fridge. I get like it was a Coors Tall Boy too. So I sit down with it. And I'm just like listening. I'm just like, hey, you know, and drinking this beer and all this stuff. And all of a sudden the talking stops and I go, you know, I know something was different. She goes, wow, you're getting started early. Huh? And I was like, what in the fuck? And I was like, oh my God. I like opened the window. She's like, that's cool. Like, are you right on or whatever. I was like, yeah, well, you know, it's like, I'm kind of, this is my half day or whatever. And right. She's like, yeah, it's that's great. You know, is there anything you want to ask me? I'm like, I don't know. I think you answered everything. And I just got out of it as quick as I could. I don't know how long I was on the call, anything like that. I found out later, probably 8 months later or something like that. She had talked to the CEO and she'd been like, she said one of the things during the interview process that really sold her on the company was she got to talk to me about what the role was going to entail, and it excited her about where the company was going. And I was like, that's fantastic. I have no idea what I said. I have no idea. And then when I left, that's when I told, you know, the people that needed to know. I was like, by the way, I was completely high out of my mind when this person came on. I'm glad it worked out. And they're like, what? I was like, out of here. Bye. Anyway, so
say nice things about me on Glassdoor.
Yeah. That was when I had to stop the coping. The coping was out of control.
That is a relatable moment, though, where I think everyone's gone through that, where you took a very non-violent, you know, I would say weed's kind of on the low tier. It's all, you know, personal, whatever. But like, I personally don't see marijuana as a problem, but it depends on the person. But
go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's a pretty mellow high. It was also given to you by,
that was not a mellow high. That was one of those, like, where everything is very intense and like,
Oh, it's an edible. Yeah.
Well, I ate the whole thing and it was supposed to be a half thing, but it was in a square that didn't have a little half mark on it.
Oh.
So I did double the dose
So you were gone.
Yeah. I was absolutely gone. It was one of those things where I remember I was peeing later, you know, like a couple hours later, I was standing at the toilet and I was pissing, and all of a sudden I go, when did I start peeing?
Yeah. The time dilation thing. It's partly why I don't like weed or anything, because it's
edible like that was too much.
Almost any form of marijuana for me has always been like, cause I know I've tried it for sleep. Everyone's like, doctors like, oh, try it for sleep. And like, it worked for a little bit, but then if it doesn't work, I'm in my own head. 3 years goes by, and I look at the clock, 5 minutes has moved, and I'm like, oh God. And I can feel everything. I'm like, it's not for me. It just doesn't, like, I just don't like it. I don't like anything that slows time down. And then those moments when you're like, how did I get here? What am I? Because when you're talking about that whole thing of like minimizing the window, forgetting there's an interview going on, it's like, for you, a day has passed.
Oh yeah. Yeah. A day has passed. No time has passed.
Yeah. I would just say, I think that's a relatable moment, because been there where you took something at the wrong time and you had a responsibility and you just have to power through, you know, like for me, it was always like hangover days of working a convention and being like, what's the problem of going out tonight and staying out till 5 a.m. It's like, well, you have to conduct an interview at 8:30.
That feels like special circumstance. Mine didn't seem like special circumstance, because it's like regular working.
The fact that someone at the company said, take the day,
Maybe that's an issue too. Yeah.
Well, that's the issue. And then maybe you should be looking at your calendar.
Yeah.
No one was right, except for the person who did the interview.
Oh yeah. She was in the right, and you know, yeah, yeah. And everything was fine with her.
Yeah. Maybe she did something wrong. I don't know.
I mean, I hope, but yeah. I don't think that was the case. Yeah. I don't think that was the case.
Either way, as long as it's not a ongoing issue, I think it just comes down to a funny story. And that's no judgment on my end. But if you think it's a problem.
It's been a problem that I've oscillated in and out of. Because like, it's in my family and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I try and be self-aware enough to know like, okay, this has been like a couple weeks of this or a month of this. That's no good. And then,
I want to take a step back. I don't want to say it's a problem, because that's a negative connotation. It's something to be aware of.
What exactly? What do you mean?
Whatever you're going through. Like, what I don't want to say is like, whatever you're doing is wrong or you're bad.
I think that's
an important distinction that I've had to learn through, where it's like, because there is such thing as, you know, a shame cycle or a shame spiral. Yeah. Where it's like, the thing I'm doing is bad. I'm bad. So now I do bad things, and it just continues and continues. So it's like getting out of that habit, like what you're doing, it's not helping you, but it doesn't make you a bad person. You're not the worst of your actions. And it's like, don't sit there and be like, well, I'm bad, so I'm going to keep drinking. I'm going to keep taking drugs because I'm always going to be bad. And now I'm bad, and that's making me do bad. So, and it's just continues. And then you pass on to your kids, and they pass on their kids, and just
bring it up on a podcast.
Break the chain, Aaron Jr.
Well, I figured that out luckily early on about the non-stigmatizing, you know, not making people feel like they're bad people with my buddy who had the opioid addiction, you know, cause like that's what his entire family was making him feel like. And that, and it just turned into this cycle of like regressing, going more into himself, abusing, drugs more, like
hiding,
it was hiding all the, you know, the cycle, the shame cycle that, I mean, even I was even able to recognize that before I had gone through that experience with him. I was like, you know, this trusted, circle, this family, this whatever, like they are putting him in a place psychologically that is no good. And it's just, it's,
and they don't know any better, cause that's how they were taught to deal with it. And,
yeah. It's the negative reinforcement or whatever it is. Yeah. But yeah, it's not saying in my instance, like bad person, but understanding like something I have to watch, you know.
Yeah. That's why you can draw it out. You don't have to do a circle plan, but like it helps some people just to say like,
you're going to have to draw me these circles and put examples in these circles. That's how visually is what I need.
I can help with that. Yeah.
I need to know what these circles
there. They are your circles.
I know, but I'm saying like, say if you give me an example, I'm good with it. If you draw the circles for Robert Downey Jr.
Okay.
And you'd be like, this is what Robert Downey's big circle is. This is what his inner circle is. Yeah.
Okay. I mean like, well, just real quick, I don't know Robert Downey Jr.'s life, but I'll just say, okay, maybe for him getting drugs was accessible through people met on movie sets.
Right.
So him being on a movie set's middle circle. He has to be there for work. When the person comes up to him and goes, "Hey, Robert, can I get you anything?" He can say, "No, bud, I'm good." That means he has his boundaries up. He has his guard up.
Uh-huh.
But he has to be there because he's, you know,
that's a profession.
Yeah. Tens of thousands of people are depending on him to make this Iron Man movie or whatever, uh-huh. or Doolittle film or whatever. Yeah. So it's like he has to be there to do his job. And he's in a place where he could make a choice, good or bad. And so him doing his job, probably middle circle, but then maybe someone says, "Hey, Robert, someone from the Make-A-Wish Foundation is coming by. Do you want to make time for that?" That can be an outer circle thing of like, I'm doing something that's helping somebody. It makes me feel good about myself. No one's getting hurt.
Okay.
But then if he goes,
someone's like, "You want to go to the Viper Room?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's probably a bit more inner circle, okay. Because you know, only bad things happen there.
Okay.
And you know, you're going to make negative choices and you're going to make things that hurt you, or, you know, when you start saying yes to things that you probably don't really want to do, or, you know, it's going to lead to bad choices. That's where it gets dicey.
Okay. I gotcha. I see.
Well, we're down to 5 minutes.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I asked what I needed to ask.
Yeah. Well, I'm not an expert on this stuff. It's just kind of relating it to like my own personal journey and other people go through it in different ways. And there's thousands of books and other stuff that like, what I want to do with this podcast, obviously addiction is something that's messed with us. Addiction is something that's been prevalent in our lives. And that's why we pick Shatterproof as our charity of choice. Mental health and addiction are actual things that people can work on. And I would like to be one of those people that doesn't feed into the stigma or tries to like break something with brute force.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a topic that I do want to keep talking about, but we were talking earlier this week about having guests on and talking to people who probably, you know, obviously have more experience in this, but yeah, I never even considered we might have guests on this thing.
Well, you know, we can edit it out. We can just say that it was like the guest is going to be so and so.
Yeah, I mean
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the hope is to have on. Well, that's the thing. I don't know if his like he's open about the addiction stuff. I don't know if it's come out.
We'll edit it out. Yeah,
we're gonna have
Courtney Love
on the show and. I don't know when that's going to happen, but...
And you would know him from...
The news, various conspiracy theories, criminal court cases, Walmart.
Yeah.
That's it. Just those two things.
Well, you know, all the other stuff.
But yeah, I think just moving forward, this is a topic I think we'll continue to revisit because I think it's important.
Especially, it's not a one and done.
Oh God, no, no.
It isn't in reality, and it's not in a discussing it.
Yeah, but I guess that's probably a good place to say goodbye. And we got to get you on a plane.
Shortly. I have to go to the bathroom again.
I'm addicted to the bathroom.
I think that's my coping mechanism.
I'm addicted to the shrub in the back.
I'm going to try and use the toilet, actually. I'm going to see if it works.
Does it work?
I don't know.
Well, next time when you come here, maybe we'll have a working toilet. Fingers are crossed.
We have a working stove and refrigerator in the living room. All right.